But it's so good to be back at a place that is I still call home. And this morning I want to preach on the miracle of hospitality. And if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to 1 Kings. That's in the Old Testament. We're going to read from chapter 17. And if you don't have a Bible, I was looking around and there's a big case or is that a trunk? Yes. Treasure chest. What appropriate name for a chest full of Bibles. So reading from 1 Kings chapter 17, let us pray before we approach God's holy word. Almighty God, we thank you for the treasure of your word. And as we seek to open it this morning, open our hearts and our minds that we may truly hear what you are saying to us, that we might not just be hearers of the word, but people who put your holy word into action. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So reading from 1 Kings chapter 17, this is the story of Elijah and a widow woman. And we read, sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering the sticks to take home and to make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Again, I just want to share a word of thank you for the kind welcome extended to me. It's always nice to be back in a place that you call home, particularly as an itinerant Methodist pastor, where we move from town to town and place to place. Sometimes we are pointed to cities we didn't even know existed in Georgia. And so it's nice to come back home. Do want to say thank you to Dr. Dave for inviting me to stand behind this microphone stand. To the people that I preached for at the 8 o'clock service, I mentioned how that historic pulpit there in the sanctuary was kind of special. Because back when I was wise or maybe foolish enough to work with youth, sometimes I would sneak into the sanctuary here at the church and stand behind that pulpit and imagine what it would be like to be a bona fide United Methodist preacher. And those dreams have come to reality because I still see, just as I did then, people falling asleep in my sermons. So God is faithful. But this morning, I do want to say thank you to Dr. Dave for giving me the opportunity to speak on the miracle of hospitality. Hospitality, a wonderful word. When I think of hospitality, I think of the Holiday Inn towels that were in my grandparents' linen closet. I thought that was a brand of towels. I didn't know that they were guilty of breaking one of the Ten Commandments. But what is hospitality? If we turn to the dictionary, it would tell us that it is the friendly and generous reception and entertainment of guests, visitors, and strangers. The friendly and generous reception is welcoming in the stranger. That's what the Bible tells us. We were strangers, and you took us in. or Jesus in particular says, I was a stranger and you took me in. You welcomed me into your community, into your home. That is hospitality. And as a United Methodist pastor who calls this place my home here at Conyers First, I'm grateful for other congregations who, in essence, took me in. I moved from Conyers back in 2002 to a wonderful town called Wilmore, Kentucky. I went to study divinity. We earned a degree called Master of Divinity, and I jokingly tell people I still can't make that candy. You all got that joke, the 8 o'clock folks didn't. But while in Kentucky, I was privileged to serve wonderful people at Highview United Methodist Church. And with a name like Highview, you would think it would be a church the size of Conyers First. You know, Highview, very noble name. But it was a little one-room church in the middle of nowhere. If you know, and you really shouldn't know about Maker's Mark, it is near their distillery. But those folks first extended hospitality to me on the very first Sunday. I remember coming to that church, had a bulletin all worked up. I used the format of worship that we use really here in the traditional service at Conyers First. And I went to the church ready to sing, ready to lead, only to discover that they did not own any editions of the 1989 hymnal. That's the hymnal we use in traditional worship. And I had to adjust everything, throw everything out the open window, and we had to sing with the Cokesbury hymnal. I don't know if any of you here have ever seen a Cokesbury hymnal, but it's the hymnal of the generation, really two generations before us. And so they're very flexible and welcoming and understanding. I remember very well going to eat Sunday afternoons at some of the homes of the church folks, and they were so humble. They would say, Pastor, we didn't have much to fix, so all we did was fry up some homemade chicken. And I was just marveled at their generosity, and I was quick to tell them that where I come from, chicken comes from a bucket, not out of a homemade frying pan. And then from Highview, I moved back to Georgia to serve as a full-time pastor. And the first church I served full-time was in Tunnel Hill, which is near Dalton in Chattanooga. If you're traveling up I-75, you might stop at Tunnel Hill. A lot of people stop at Tunnel Hill, not to see the tunnel in the hill, but to use the restroom. It's a popular place for travelers. And that church, very welcoming to me as a stranger, particularly as a single pastor. I don't think they had ever had a single pastor. And so it was a real adjustment to them not having a pastor's wife to kind of direct around. They were very kind people, helped me through the swine flu when I had it. So I'm grateful for them. And then for the last 5 years, I was privileged to live in Comer, Georgia. Comer is east of Athens. It's a wonderful community. And several years ago, one of our very own, Alice Rogers, served the Comer United Methodist Church. And even to this day, Alice is considered a saint in that community. I'm waiting to determine what my description will be. I went back a few weeks ago for a funeral, and some folks asked where I had been. And I said, you didn't know I moved? And they said, no. And I said, we thought something had happened to you. We haven't seen you walking your dog. And now I'm at Greensboro, serving in Lake Oconee, and very blessed to be the assistant pastor to a much wiser and pastor by the name of Mike Morgan, who is also a fruit of this congregation. And there are many folks from Conyers in Greensboro, but I did tell Pastor Dave I would not invite any of you to move out to the lake. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. But when it comes to spiritual hospitality, I am very grateful to you, the people of Conyers First United Methodist Church, for you were the ones who first showed me hospitality. I came to this church as a teenager, I believe a junior or senior in high school. And the first Sunday, I came to Sunday school, and then I came to worship, and I felt welcome here, even as just a teenager. And this became a place where I was able to discern God's call and claim on my life. And I really don't know where I would be if this church had not been welcoming to me as a stranger. And for that, I am forever grateful. And I believe the people I have served as a pastor are forever grateful. And so again, I, on behalf of them, thank you. You know, we live in a world in desperate need of hospitality. Now, there is a professional hospitality industry in our country, and they're pretty good at hospitality. According to financial data, in 2012, in the United States alone, this is just our country, the hospitality industry produced $1.5 trillion in economic output. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a lot of money, $1.5 trillion. I don't even know how many zeros that is. That's so much money. And the hospitality industry employs almost 8 million people. And I think statistically, that's 1 in 16. So that would probably, a room this size, try and do math, probably about 8 people would, no, I think that's close, or 7 to 8 people would be employed in the hospitality industry. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of towels, a lot of shower caps and mints on pillows. But this morning, I want to speak not on the professional hospitality industry in which there certain people are employed, but upon spiritual hospitality, which should be the profession of us all. Spiritual hospitality is the gift of making the stranger, the guest, the visitor, feel welcomed in and by the grace of God. In today's scripture lesson from the Old Testament, we see a miracle in response to the gracious and sacrificial act of hospitality. We meet the Old Testament prophet Elijah. He is a man on the run. You might even call him a refugee because he is running for his life. He is fleeing persecution and death from one of the meanest, cruelest, and probably ugliest women in the Bible, Jezebel. Elijah is what we would call a prophet. Now, when we hear the word prophet, some of us might think of Miss Cleo. You remember Miss Cleo? She would come on TV and say, I see, you know, see romance. I see an economic change in your future, meaning she's going to get your money. And, you know, she got in trouble for fraud. And what was surprising is she didn't see that coming. But a prophet is a truth teller. In the biblical sense, a prophet is someone who tells the truth, and that is the truth of God. And King Ahab and his wife Jezebel didn't care about the truth that Elijah had to say. And the Bible tells us something pretty sad about Ahab. I mean, it'd be nice to be in the pages of the Bible. I mean, if you think about all the people who ever lived, just really a handful in comparison, maybe just a finger's worth of people in comparison have made the pages of the Bible. But I don't think I would want to have this reputation in the Bible. Ahab, we read in 1 Kings 16:33, Ahab did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. So if I was going to be in the Bible, I wouldn't want to be in there because I angered God more than anybody else who had ever ruled. And the Lord's anger appeared or was manifest in the form of a drought that plagued the land for many years. And Elijah flees Ahab and Jezebel, directed by the Lord, to a creek, a brook. And as he's hid out here in this place, Elijah experiences the first drone delivery of food. Birds feed him. Ravens bring food. And I hope he wasn't a picky eater, because I don't really know what a bird would bring somebody who was hungry. But the Lord provided for Elijah. But as the drought continued, the water dried up, and the Lord again provides for Elijah. He says, Elijah, you need to go to Zarephath, and there will be a widow woman who will help you. She'll provide for you. She'll take care of you. Now, I have to believe Elijah was a man of faith. And we read in the Bible how sometimes he doubted, but thank God he doubted his doubts. He overall trusted the Lord to provide. And I guess if the Lord will feed you for a season with birds, you could trust the Lord to provide you food by the hand of a widow. So he heads to Zarephath, and he meets this widow at the city gate. And her life is a sad song with many verses. The drought has brought famine. And she is gathering just a few sticks, and her agenda for the day is to make a fire, take the last of her flour and oil, and make maybe a pan of biscuits. And then her and her son will just sit down to die. That's her to-do list for the day. But her to-do list is interrupted by the prophet Elijah. He meets the woman, and he asks this woman who set about to die that day, "Ma'am, can you help a traveler out? Ma'am, can you give me a drink of water?" Now, that is a simple request. As we were singing, I was thirsty. I looked around, and in the back of this room, there's a container of nice cold water. Sometimes we take water for granted until you wake up and there's no water running in the faucet. But this was a land that had been plagued by drought. And so water, even a glass of water, was a precious commodity. And to give water to a stranger was indeed a gracious and generous gift. But nonetheless, this widow woman consents and gives Elijah a glass of water. And isn't it funny that men haven't changed much over time? So while she's going to get water, he throws in a second request. And maybe many women can attest to that. He says, "While you're at the fridge, can you bring me some bread?" No, there's no refrigerator. He just says, "Ma'am, can you also make me some bread?" If I was to translate this verse, I would put it in Southern biblical language. "Ma'am, can you bring me some biscuits?" And I mean, if I was getting ready to die, I think one of the last meals I would want to eat would be a good biscuit. And this is where we see God show up in the midst of hospitality. Because water was a precious gift in a land of drought. But flour, bread, even more of a sacrifice in a land with famine. And here in this request, we see that God has sent Elijah to a woman with some amount of faith. For she replies to him, "As surely as the Lord your God lives, I don't have any food, only a handful of flour in a jar and a bit of oil in a bottle. Look at me. I'm collecting two sticks so that I can make some food for myself and my son. We will eat the last of the food and then die." She is thinking about death, not living. But Elijah, the prophet of God, the truth teller, says, "Don't be afraid. Go and do what you said. But also make a little loaf of bread for me first. Then bring it to me. You can make something for yourself and your son after that." This is what Israel's God, the Lord, says. "The jar of flour won't decrease, and the bottle of oil won't run out until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." Now the widow went and did what Elijah said. So the widow, Elijah, and the widow's household, that is her son, ate for many days. The jar of flour didn't decrease, nor did the bottle of oil run out, just as the Lord spoke through Elijah. A promise was made, faith was challenged, but faith was rewarded. And this is kind of a surprise. Sometimes we don't think of the cultural background, particularly in Old Testament scripture. Elijah has fled his homeland to the land of Gentiles. And for many generations, the Jewish people thought of Gentiles as outside the covenant of God. In the New Testament, we read in Romans how God has expanded that covenant of grace. But he's running to the land, really, of his enemies, the land of Jezebel, the one who is trying to harm him. And he's placed his life into the hand of, really, strangers. But God has directed him into a woman who does believe that at least his God, the God of Israel, lives. And so her faith is challenged, Elijah's faith is challenged, but it is rewarded. Because here, God provides a woman with little resources, but a woman who does at least have faith. Faith is very important when it comes to stewardship, when it comes to hospitality. This faith is rewarded, and neither the widow, her son, or the prophet go hungry. God provides. This is truly a miracle. Elijah, a man on the run, has very little to offer. The widow has even less to offer, really, just maybe half a cup of flour, a teaspoon or so of oil. But both had faith, faith in a God who has been faithful and continues to be faithful to provide. And this widow trusts the living God. Elijah trusts the living God, and they both experience a miracle. For 5 years, I was privileged to call Comer, Georgia, my home. And I was blessed to serve the Colbert and the Comer United Methodist churches. Those churches are good people. And while living in Comer, I met many strangers. Comer, though a small town, with the biggest news now is that we're getting a new Dollar General. That's really big news, particularly when you go to the present Dollar General. They're getting a new Dollar General. It might even be a Dollar General market, which would be like high cotton for Comer. But it's a town of many strangers, partly because in Comer there's this little place called Jubilee Partners. And Jubilee Partners is a Christian ministry center that works with refugees. Jubilee's partner roots go back to a little town called Americus, Georgia, where two men of great faith, Clarence Jordan and Millard Fuller, thought the world could be different. And they built Koinonia Farm, and the first people who came to Jubilee kind of graduated, moved out of Koinonia Farms to give birth to Jubilee Partners. And Jubilee decided that their area of ministry would be to welcome the stranger, to welcome the refugee. And some of the first people they welcomed into the sleepy little southern town of Comer, Georgia, were Cuban refugees. And then there were refugees from Asia and then East Europe. And to this day, most of the refugees come from a town, from a community called Burma or Myanmar. They're persecuted Christians. And so it's very interesting when a group of persecuted Christians moves into your neighborhood. Very interesting in that it provokes miracles of faith. You might hear a lot about refugees in the news, particularly in these past few days. We see heartbreaking images of people who are fleeing their homes out of fear of persecution, fear of death. And according to the UN High Council on Refugees, there are currently 60 million individuals forcibly displaced by persecution, conflict, violence, and human rights violations. 60 million people. That's almost as many people who work in the United States in making people feel welcome. That's 10 times as many. That's 7.8 million. This is 60 million. So that's more people, 10 times more people who help others feel welcome that are needing to experience welcome in the world. And of that group, almost 20 million of these people are classified as refugees. I like to think of Elijah as a refugee. The media tells us that these refugees could be possible terrorists, people who intend to do us harm, people who bring disease, and people who will bring a drain on our resources. And it is true that there could be valid reasons to make such claims. But we need to remember that in the end, these are still people. People who need a place to call home. Yes, in Comer, I met many refugees. People who came to Comer with all their possessions, if they were fortunate, and maybe a suitcase or a grocery bag. This is all they brought, so little, to this new land. But one thing that they brought that was more important than any physical possession was their spiritual faith. Many of these persecuted Christians brought and continue to bring a faith in the God who provided for Elijah, and a God who provided for them through terrible stories of persecution. I could tell you story after story of persecution, stories that would break your heart to know that there's such evil in the world. But I'd rather choose to share a story of faith, of a faith greater than the struggles that many of these refugees have faced. Living in Comer, I was blessed to get to know Pastor Thaige. It's interesting when you have international friends, particularly when they call you, because on my phone, when Pastor Thaige calls, it appears the, T-H-E. So if anybody was like, who is the calling? Who? But Pastor Thaige is a great man of faith. He's older. He's in his late 70s. And he, for his life, was the Baptist minister. And for a long time, he was kind of like the bishop or the head pastor of all the Burmese Baptists in the world. And his people have been spread all over the world because of the refugee resettlement program. Some live in Arizona, some in Canada, some in Georgia, some in different countries of Europe. But Pastor Thaige believes, much like Joshua, much like Joseph of the Old Testament, that what the world intended for evil, God intended for good. And he believes that his people have been sent particularly to America and to Europe to bring the faith that has kind of disappeared from the church. He believes his people will help bring revival to America. And I tell you, in my congregations at Comer and Colbert, their presence has brought a renewal of faith. To hear stories of persecution, but to more importantly hear stories of providence, has stirred the faith of the people. You can't help believe in a God of miracles when you meet these refugees. As I look out on this congregation, I can really say to this group of people, you are not the people I remember when I was a student here, when I was a youth leader. This building wasn't even here when I was here as a member. This was a parking lot, and it was a dream in many of the congregation's hearts. And so I thank you for keeping up the good work of welcoming people into this community of faith. It is a blessing to see so many new faces, to see people who I do not know their name. And it continues to make me happy, maybe even proud, to call this church my home. And I challenge you to continue to think about how you can participate in the miracle of hospitality. For there are refugees who need a place to call home. There are people who live in distant lands whose homes are being destroyed. But there are also people who might be your neighbor whose home is being destroyed by doubt and fear and all the things that seek to kill, steal, and destroy. There might be even someone sitting next to you here in this worship space who feels like a refugee, even in this church, who needs a place to call home. There are people in this world who need a safe place to wrestle with life's most important questions. And I encourage you, the people of Conyers First United Methodist Church, to be that place. You were that place to me when I came here as a teen with so little to offer. I don't think I even had flour or oil to even make some bread. But you took me in and made me feel part of this community of faith. You helped me discern God's call and claim on my life. You affirmed that call and sent me out in ministry. And now, because of you, I'm able to bless others in so many ways. And I'm sure they are thankful for your hospitality. So how can we engage in the work and in the miracle of hospitality? Well, like most things of faith, the first step is to pray. I mean, sometimes we forget that, don't we? That praying is important. I like the great theologian, MC Hammer, you got to pray to make it today. So pray. And by pray, I mean P-R-A-Y. There's sadly too much P-R-E-Y in the church sometimes. But pray. Listen to God and ask God to send you to people, or ask God to send people into your life. Might be while you're at the dry cleaner, or at the restaurant, or at the grocery store. Might be even at your own family table or with friends you already know, but to be attentive to people who are sharing a word of restlessness, people who need a place to call home. And will you pray for God to send you people, or to send people, or for you to go out to people? Well, don't be surprised when God begins to do that. And so when God begins to send people into your life, into this church, I encourage you to treat them as people. Sometimes, sadly, the church looks at people as assets or liabilities. We want people who can help pay our bills, people who can volunteer to work with the children or youth, people who have talents to sing in the choir, when really we should just be happy that God is sending us people, no matter if in worldly view they are a liability or an asset. The refugees I met in Comer, in a worldly view, would be considered liabilities. I mean, they had no jobs, they had no resources, but in a spiritual economy, they were far richer than we were because they brought the great gift of faith. And that has been and continues to be the best gift they could offer. And I encourage you to practice what the Bible calls true religion, reaching out to care for the widow, the orphan, the persecuted, the hurting. Give them whatever gift of grace and love you can offer. And do not let fear stifle and control your generosity and your stewardship. Fear is not really a good guide when it comes to generosity and stewardship. For when we do God's good work, as we saw in the story of Elijah and the widow, the flour will never run out, the oil vat will never go dry. For God will be faithful to provide the resources you need for the ministry at hand. You'll surprisingly find yourself blessed, not for your own sake, but to be a blessing to others. Friends, hospitality is our work. It is really the essence of the Great Commission. For if we are honest with ourselves, sometimes it's important just to have some honest time with ourselves. If we're honest with ourselves, we'll realize that at one point in all of our lives, we were a stranger. We were a refugee, fleeing from the God of love. And if it had not been for the grace of God to welcome us into the household of faith, where would we be? Where would we be? And so as recipients of God's grace, we need to continue to point people to the direction of God's big house, to lead them to the table of grace. This is our work, and it is a work of miracles, to experience and to share grace with others, grace that forgives, grace that heals, and grace that gives us new life. Grace that has the power to transform the stranger, the refugee, into a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. So I thank you and I challenge you all, keep up the good work of hospitality. Welcome the people that God sends you and have faith to believe in miracles that come from hospitality. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.